Matt Smith, Southern Pigskin. Kirby, just wanted to go back to January when you were walking through the stay or go process with Nick and Sony and then David and Lorenzo as well. Obviously a ton of experience going through that at Alabama. What's kind of your process in helping guide their decision?
Well, I think that process that you talked about at Alabama really helped me because for 9 years we had a lot of guys. I think 22 or something came out, and a lot of them decided to stay. And I kind of leaned on that experience. I think the best thing you can do for a player is not do much at all. You get them information. You educate them. You put them in the right hands. And I've always believed in being an information gatherer. I talked to a lot of teams in the NFL, and we went through the right process and gave those players the information and told them that they needed to consult with their families and the outside sources that we use as a university to help them. And I think each one of them made a great decision. And I say that not because they stayed and it helps me. I say that because I think they made the right decision. And ultimately, that's something that they'll get their education by staying and doing. So when you can educate a player and help him, I feel like I'm doing my job.
Also here on the right side, Scott.
Kirby, congratulations, first of all, on getting top recruits, being on the beach with your family. That's amazing. But in all seriousness, give us something you don't do that Nick does. Everybody acts like you guys are copycats, and I know you got your own stuff
text.
To do. You text. He doesn't text.
I text a lot. So, you know, I think just being the age difference that he and I have, I have the utmost respect for him and Terry, and they've done so much for me and my family and my career. But we're certainly not the same people. I think he'll openly tell you that. He's probably a lot smarter than me in a lot of ways. And I think that my personality is a little bit different, and to each his own, and he's been a tremendous asset in my career.
Left side here, front row.
Hey, Kirby Barrett, Salih, CBS. I think after the spring game, you called the offensive line's performance tee-off time in that particular setting, but you seemed real confident with how the offensive line played throughout the course of spring practice. What do you want to see from them during fall camp?
Well, we got to be able to run the ball more efficiently. It's hard, guys, when you start talking about, well, can you run the ball week in and week out in the SEC? When you play the most formidable defenses in the country, which seven or eight of them are usually in the top 20 of the country, top defenses, it's tough to be able to go out there and just say, I'm going to move people. Nobody with consistency, nobody moves big people on defensive fronts in the SEC. So you have to find ways to run around them, to create space, to create open plays for your skill players. And we've got good backs. So finding a way for those guys to get the ball and get touches other ways is really important to make our offense effective. But we do have to be more physical up front. And I thought that we took steps towards that in the spring. Not necessarily in the spring game, because that wasn't meant to be a running adventure. We wanted to throw it around. But we're going to have to be able to run the ball, and we're going to be able to stop the run. It's real simple in the SEC.
Right side here in the middle.
Coach, the other day on Sirius, I had a caller call in, and they said the thing that they thought you possessed that maybe other coaches didn't at Georgia was a killer instinct. I tended to agree with them, particularly where you came from and also who you are as a coach. Would you agree that you have that killer instinct? And if you do, what does that mean to you? What's the extra thing you do? How do you define that?
Well, I think you want to put that into your players, especially into your players, more so into you as a coach. But your players usually take on the personality of the coach, and I know that I'm a little bit excited on the sidelines and maybe a energy drama guy. I like that. I like the energy. I think it feeds into our players, and I hope that never leaves. I hope I don't ever get tired of doing that. But, you know, that killer instinct comes from years of playing good teams, and you don't put the killer instinct and put the boot on them on the throat when you have to. It can come back to haunt you. And I think that characteristic comes out in our players, and I think it helps us become more successful. And you got to be able to finish games in this league. So if you got a lead, you got to be able to stand on their throat and stomp on it. And if you don't, you better be able to come back. I think 36% of the games or something in the SEC are decided by one score or less. So you think about the game management that games come down to, the critical plays in the last 3 minutes of a game. I mean, almost every one of our games last year were that way. So if you can have that killer instinct when you get a 10-point lead to take it to 21, you certainly get more experience and your team grows with that.
Left side, back row.
I can only tell you that they're not currently enrolled, and that we could get them in any minute. I mean, it could be any day between now and start of the camp. So we're looking forward to those guys enrolling.
Right side, third row.
Jim Johnson, Southern Pigskin. Are you guys doing anything to relieve the offensive line and their responsibilities in pass protection?
I missed you there. You said anything to relieve?
Yeah, to kind of take some of the pressure off, swing passes, screens, more of that.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The pressure that offensive linemen face in the SEC is pretty immense. To help them, you can throw screens, you can throw those things, but there's a lot of really good athletes running around out there chasing down screens. So we look at it and study what other teams do. The biggest thing is getting touches to the guys who are going to make plays and make guys miss. And if you can get the ball in your playmaker's hands, whether it's a swing pass, a screen pass, a bubble pass, you know, at the end of the day, somebody's got to block for that. And whether that's skill players, it got to be bigger to block on the perimeter. You know, last year we had three wideouts on the field most of the time, and Reggie Davis, Terry Godwin, and Isaiah McKenzie, and each one of them was under 170 pounds. So you got to be able to block when you throw a swing pass. So we're always looking to create a way to take pressure off the offensive line. But one of the best ways to take pressure off of them is to run the ball effectively, because that opens up the play action. So we got to find a way to do that first and foremost, and we certainly got the backs to do it.
Front row here, left side.
Coach, you mentioned earlier about trying to get more consistency in the pass game. I know that you worked with Sony out on the outside a little bit this year. How much can he, and also moving Mecole over there, help reach that goal?
Well, first thing it does, it gives us a little bit more of a dual threat. It gives us guys that, when the ball's in their hand, can make people miss. You know, I felt like in the bowl game, we were struggling offensively until Sony got a touch and he made some guys miss, kind of sparked the offense. So we're trying to find ways that who can provide that spark. And I think every SEC team's doing that. You're saying, who are my guys that I got to get 10 touches to, 15 touches to, who can protect the ball? And when those guys are in there, they've got to also be effective blockers. And it's important that Sony and Mecole and Terry Godwin are effective when the ball bounces out on the perimeter and Nick's running it. They go out there and block somebody. So we're challenging those guys to do it. But Jacob has to be more efficient in his throws, meaning complete 10 more percent, and that changes the game, a lot of games, especially the down the field throws.
Coach, also here in the left side, front row.
Coach, can you talk about your relationship with Will Muschamp? I know you're good friends, and now you're at rival schools just down the road from each other.
Yeah, I think much is made about that when it's a respect that we have for each other. I played at Georgia with him, and he was in his last year, my first year, and we've followed each other together. We've coached together, I guess, two or three different times, and it's great to see him have success. And I know he would say the same thing about me, and our families are good friends. It was great to see his wife Carol at the SEC head coaches meetings down in Destin. So it's always great, because at the end of the day, we know it's about our families and we know it's about our programs, but we have a lot of respect for each other.
I think we only have time for about one last question. Right side in the corner.
Coach, you mentioned how tight games are in the SEC. You had a couple of one-point losses and the last-second loss with the Hail Mary to Tennessee. How tough is it to be so close only to, as you talked about earlier, not finish?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you think about it, we also had some that we won that were the same way. So, you know, so many of our games are decided by that. And I think the one thing that people don't measure is how can you improve your team in those situations, because we all talk about lifting and running and putting bands on them, how they get faster, and everybody's trying to do that. But what can you do different to make those last 3 minutes of the critical decisions, those critical moments, how can you execute better in those? Because let's be honest, they're going to happen. They happen every year. They happen at a higher clip now than they ever have in the SEC. So with the parity that's been brought about, those clock management situations and those crucial situations, how does your quarterback handle it? How does your defense handle it? How does your coaching staff handle it? And I think those things are what affect the outcomes of games.